Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, this will be a fun one.
This is going to be a blast. But before we get started, I have to give a shout out to Buford Highway Farmers Market. I went there because you suggested it'd be a fantastic field trip. That place is amazing.
Who'd you bring with you?
I just took Holly with me on this thing, but just like you described it, just everything, the produce, food from any nation that I'm aware of, and we picked up a few things. It was just a fun field trip, so we're going to be doing more of that. Next time I have out-of-town company, that's where we're going to take them.
I got to experience our friends at Four River Barbecue.
Yeah, and?
It was really good. The brisket was really good. We went, it was like a deluge rainstorm, and it was still packed, full house, and our guy wasn't there, but...
He told you to call ahead.
I know.
And then you get the whole chef visit, and that's why we do a restaurant show, so that we can show off. You know, I went home with the sauce after that episode. Well, right. I didn't go home, I went to the mountains. You know, I like to go on vacation every couple of weeks just to clear my head.
I know, it's a lot of stress.
But I went to the mountains with the sauce, and it was... huge success. There was like three different flavors of sauce that he brought us. So, all right. Well, that maybe is my next field trip. Enough already, though. We got a show to do.
All right.
All right. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Root City, Miss Shannon Kroll. How are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Well, Shannon, can you share a little bit about Root City? What are you doing for folks?
Yeah. Root City is a local run business. It's a community for makers, and that means people who are creating goods with their hands. It's a community. It's a pop-up market. It's a networking event. We do all of these things as a way to support these small businesses in this particular niche.
Now, are you a maker or are you a organizer of makers?
I'm an organizer of makers, yeah.
That's your superpower?
Yeah.
So how'd you get into that?
I met with the founder of Root City on an unrelated topic. She was doing a speaking series and I wanted to know how she was sourcing her speakers.
Mm-hmm.
During the course of that conversation, it came up that she was looking for someone to take over Root City. And I just couldn't raise my hand fast enough.
Oh, really? So yeah. You had heard about them previously?
Oh, I had been a customer for sure.
Oh, a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Root City a physical place or is it more of a kind of virtual community that shows up at different places?
The latter. We do pop-up markets. What had been quarterly, we are moving to probably 2 or 3 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest part of what we do are these markets. And that gives the makers an opportunity to sell their products, engage with customers, see what's working, really interact with the Atlanta community at large. We also do networking events. And we've started doing workshops for these makers around their businesses.
Now, can you share a little bit about the profile of a maker? Is it the person that, hey, I'm good at making candles and I've been doing it as a hobby for myself and maybe I should pursue this as a business? Is that...
That's one profile. I think that most of the people who are considered makers start out as something that they really enjoy.
It's a passion.
It's a passion.
Like a hobby passion.
Yep. Yep. Some of them probably have friends and family that say, you could make some money on this.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them probably spun up some online stores, perhaps are on Etsy, perhaps they started in the craft market scene and then have moved forward with making a real quote unquote business.
Right. But then a real business is a little different than kind of a hobby business.
It sure is.
Do you help them with some of those skills that maybe they need?
Well, that's a lot of what these workshops are about.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting kind of into the weeds about, look, that was fine when you're making it out of your house for 4 people. But if you want to make a business out of this, you have to do different things.
Correct. And there are so many different makers in this community. And they're all at different stages. So the very first workshop we did was on going wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that we did that was because a lot of these makers want to grow their businesses. And there are a lot of steps that most people don't understand in between having a hobby and getting your product into, say, Michael's.
Oh, so you help them at that level? So if they wanted to sell to a big store like that?
We definitely provide the resources to be able to make that happen. So that's a long journey.
Yeah.
And the woman who led that workshop has been successful in that. She started out doing markets and was doing upwards of 5 markets a week, which sounds like a lot because it is. And over the course of 7 years, grew her product to the point where she was in these major retail locations throughout the country.
And then when you're doing things like that, I guess little things you don't realize are big things in for the big retailer, right? Because it could be as simple as you can't have that type of packaging because they don't have a place to put that type of packaging.
Correct.
You have to change the packaging so it fits on a shelf or can hang from a thing, right?
Yep. Packaging, pricing.
Mm-hmm.
We have a pricing workshop tomorrow evening in Grant Park because pricing can be a very complex issue when you go from selling to friends and family to having to discount it at a wholesale rate.
Right. And they may not understand the ratios.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So that must be eye-opening for some people.
It is. I think it's intimidating. And that's part of what I feel strongly about with Root City is how do we help get people over this hump?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even know how many people you've talked to about business.
Tens of thousands.
Out of tens of thousands, you have a much deeper understanding than I certainly do. What I do know is that most of this comes down to the willingness to step through some of those feelings of anxiety and fear and get to that next step.
And what you're doing is providing this education. And that's usually the most important part in the sense that, first of all, there's a community out there of generous people that want to help you.
Right.
And then you don't have to be alone if you don't want to be.
Right.
That's a choice you're making.
Yeah.
Because there's a bunch of willing people that'll just answer your questions without any money changing hands just because they're normal human beings. Right.
Right.
And a surprisingly large number in a surprisingly a lot of different positions in their companies mm-hmm. are willing to be generous to you.
For sure. That's certainly been my experience.
Right. And that's been our experience. I mean, that's why we do what we do because of the generosity of the business community by far outweighs the people who are not generous.
Right.
I mean, and
absolutely.
And a lot of the small guys are kind of intimidated. They think that someone else has all these answers and they don't have them and they'll never get them. And,
right.
And all you have to do is ask a lot of times.
A lot of the time. That's the case. I think that for some of the makers that we work with, they don't even know what question to ask.
Right.
And so that's part of what I'm in the process of doing right now is meeting with these different makers and having over 1 hour conversations with them to get to know them, get to know their company, and get to know what is the question beneath the question.
Right.
What is the next workshop you need? Is it really that you need to learn about taxes or do you need to know how to choose
Let's
a good accountant?
Sell something first.
Right, right. Or do you just need to know how to choose a good accountant?
Right.
And what questions to ask?
Right. Well, a lot of times people get bogged down with the with issues that aren't problems yet. You know,
right. Yes,
they're already worrying about tax issues and they haven't sold anything.
Right.
Like
right.
You know, let's sell $100 worth of things.
Right.
First, and then let's see if anybody even wants what you have.
Yeah. Good
so
point.
Now you mentioned that the makers includes kind of stuff that maybe would be on Etsy. Does it also include like kind of some of this food items as well?
There are some food items. Mostly cottage food industry items. And with our markets, we tend to do very limited food items.
Mm-hmm.
We, at our summer market, which is on June 17th, we had a company that launched a granola line for the first time.
Right.
Super excited about this. And that's one of the people that I'm tracking very closely
right.
to see what her journey is through this process, to see just how we can help.
Right.
So, yeah, some granola, of course, coffee and tea.
Sure.
We usually have a food truck or two at the events. So, yeah.
Now, we had the privilege of having in the studio several years ago the High Road Ice Cream folks.
Mm.
Are you familiar with them?
I'm not.
They started out at Kennesaw State University.
Okay.
As executive MBA program. It's a guy that was in culinary, him and his wife. And they were going to make like a super high-end ice cream for, I think it's first it started with chefs, like to the restaurant market. And then now it's expanded. They just got into Publix. So then they're you know, growing their brand.
That's a huge deal.
Right. And then from an ice cream, you know, you wouldn't think that Atlanta might be the center of ice cream and they're trying to dethrone Ben and Jerry's and Haagen-Dazs, but good for him. But it started out in the same manner.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of these larger companies start, right?
Absolutely. And I think that it's easy for some of these makers to look at the larger companies and say, well, they're already doing that.
Right.
Not realizing that everybody starts somewhere.
Right. Somebody had to sell their first thing somewhere.
Right. Right.
So now, when you got involved at this level, is this kind of how you expected it to go?
No. No, because that's business, right? At first, I was terrified by that. Like, I bought this and it was going to go a certain way. And what do you mean it's going differently? But of course, the more people I talk to in business, the more I learn that that's the way that it goes.
Right.
So, taking a look at what the makers need, taking a look at exactly how large the event industry is in Atlanta, it is huge. When Jen Soong started Root City in 2013, she had to explain to people what a pop-up market was.
Right.
It was just an interesting new concept. Now, there are pop-up markets every weekend.
Right.
So one of the things that I decided to do with Root City was to meet the needs of those makers and to help grow that community from within.
So you're looking to meet as many makers out there of any size?
Oh, yes. Any size.
So how are you finding them right now?
Mostly through social media and through the ongoing maker community. Mm-hmm. They know each other through these events.
And they have friends of friends.
Right, right. And word spreads through that community. And so that's been the biggest reach. And like I said, I'm meeting with a lot of them individually to hear about their needs and continuing to put together the next steps in programming and products to help grow them.
So now when you're meeting with them, are they, is this something they're like just hungry for?
Oh yeah.
This kind of information?
Yes. Well, and what I'm doing with them right now is asking them about their businesses and asking where they've come from and where they're heading. Everybody likes to talk about themselves. So this, I think, is in some ways the easy part.
And then for you as a business owner, are you're trying to monetize this in some way, or is this your way of serving this community and just altruistically?
Both. We do charge for the workshops and the markets. There is a fee for participation. And we also are doing networking events, and that is free. Mm-hmm. We usually work with local sponsors to provide the snacks and beverages.
Right.
But a lot of these makers only interact with each other at the shows or at the festivals. So we wanted to give them an opportunity to ask each other questions.
Right.
And get to know each other.
Now, are you building an online community or is this kind of all face-to-face at this point?
It's all face-to-face. I think that that is a lot of what they're after in the city. Several of these makers have full-time jobs.
Right. Like this, they're on the side thing.
Right. This is a side hustle. Some of them would like for this to grow to become a full-time thing.
Right.
And to replace their day job. Some just want to take better vacations.
Right.
And retire maybe a couple of years early.
Right. Or incorporate their hobby into a vacation where they're going to a market, maybe in a resort area.
Right. Right.
So you have people doing things like that?
All of that. So that really, it's a broad spectrum of needs and a broad spectrum of wants. I met with a woman who was unable to attend the Going Wholesale workshop. And as we started talking, she said, you know, I just don't even want my business to be that big. I like my day job.
Right. I like this as it is.
Right. I like going to these festivals. It's perfect the way that it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember there's a Harry Chapin song about, do you know who Harry Chapin is?
I don't.
It's a folk singer from probably the 70s, but he writes a song about this guy that sung very well. And people, he was, I forgot what, he had a day job. And then people are like, you have a great singing voice. You should sing, you should sing. And then, so he decided to pursue that. And then he got there. Then when you go bigger, then people have talk about you and they have opinions, and he didn't like that, and he went back to singing in his shop.
Ooh.
But that was the premise. Like, not everybody wants to be the superstar.
That's true.
They could be okay selling just a little bit in markets a few times a year.
That's true. Well, and some of these, like we were talking about earlier, a lot of these people started their businesses as a passion or a hobby that they really enjoyed. And so to stretch into taxes.
Right. All of a sudden, it's now work.
Now it's
not fun anymore.
All right. I figured out our marketing secret sauce. I'm over here poking around on the website a little bit. So the next event that I'm seeing is July 25th, 6 p.m. at Eventide Brewing. But it says here very clearly, tickets include a tour by the glass. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the workshop begins at 6:30. So come early, have a beer, and get ready to learn all about pricing. So that's her marketing secret right there.
Beer.
By the glass. I like it. Nicely done.
That's a craft beer term.
There you go. Now, is that something that you're looking for? It's great to have these kind of makers that are learning and kind of getting started. But they're also, you need these kind of more established businesses that can hire them, buy their stuff, things like that as well, right? Are you trying to work that side of it as well?
Can you ask that another way? I don't think I'm following.
Like to have a network of people who buy makers' stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just the general Atlanta community, right?
Right.
Most people that I know have really started looking at how can we support our neighbors?
Right.
How can we support this Atlanta community?
Mm-hmm.
This is a beautiful way to do that.
Right.
It's also a very nice way during the holiday season, which is coming up quickly.
Sure.
To make that gift giving process a little bit better.
Right.
To have something that's a little bit unique and that feels good.
Now, I'm familiar with there's a kind of an artsy place in Decatur or on the back end of the square called Homegrown.
Yep, yep.
So now, to me, that's an example of somebody who, that's their business, is supporting local artists.
Exactly.
Are there a lot of companies like that? Are there a lot of businesses like them out there?
Yes, and they've grown. I've seen a lot of them pop up over the last few years. Homegrown's been around for a little while, I think. Mm-hmm. There's another one, Indicator, over in a new development called Coco and Misha, doing a very similar thing. A little bit of a different style. And mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting thing with the Atlanta handmade permanent shop community is each shop has a little bit of a different flair.
Right. The aesthetic of the owner probably is.
I think that has a lot to do with it. Yeah.
So now is that you're helping kind of match make the maker with these kind of shops and explain how they can go up to them and talk to them about getting their stuff in there?
That's something that we're working on.
Uh-huh.
There are a couple of different ways to get into those shops. One is through a wholesale account, and that gets a little bit tricky for the maker if they're not in a position to deal with the wholesale pricing yet, or they haven't
even considered it. Right?
Like and then the production, right?
I need 100 of those. Give me chunks of 100.
Right. So there's that. And then there's also sometimes for these small shops, they're not in a position to meet minimums.
Right.
So it's happening on both sides, which I think is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
The other way that some of these makers get into these small shops is through what's called consignment. So they take their product and leave it in the shop, and the shop takes a percentage of the sale and then passes the rest on to the maker. So that's a low risk experience for both sides, but it takes a lot more effort.
Right. I'm sure paperwork wise, that must be tricky.
Paperwork, tracking, you have to really manage that relationship with the shop.
Right.
So I think that it's a good way to start, but it's not scalable.
Right. So you help them with that, like maybe to get started there, but you know that it's going to evolve from that.
That's a conversation that I've started having.
Right.
We don't have anything put together yet around that.
Now, when you're talking to the makers, is there anything that stood out for you that surprised you? Any good inspirational stories or success stories that you can share from doing this?
I think that the woman who led our going wholesale workshop, Caitlin Abisher, the name of her parent company is Kate & Co. And she started out making soap from a kit in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that she put it was, you know, I didn't tell any of my friends I was doing this because when you're in high school, you don't tell your friends you're doing something different.
Right.
But she was spending her nights and weekends doing this. She went through college and obtained a business degree from Kennesaw State and was looking to get a job that she really cared about. She comes from a family of entrepreneurs.
Right.
And they said, well, why don't you stop looking for a job and pursue this business?
Right.
And so she really took a look at what would it take for this to grow long term.
Mm-hmm.
I found that to be a little bit unusual in the maker community. A lot of, like we've been saying, a lot of these people are pursuing passions. And Caitlin took a step back and looked at the bigger picture and the long term goal. and really went for it all the way. And I think that that's something that a lot of business owners struggle with is how do I commit all of the way? How do I jump in and just push through that fear, anxiety, whatever we're going to call it? And Caitlin has managed to do that.
Now, I find it interesting in that story that her parents were entrepreneurs. She was doing something as a hobby, entrepreneurial, mm-hmm. but still it didn't connect the dots in her mind that she should pursue that full time. There was still a lot of societal pressure and like, this is a logical path that
right.
wasn't the path that she was immersed in
right.
for her entire life. She was, you know, really fighting the opposite kind
right.
of inertia.
Yeah.
Because there was probably a super good support system for entrepreneurism in her
yes.
home
yes.
every day for her growing up for 20 years.
For sure. And I'm sure that all of her friends were going off to get jobs.
And going to college and doing
right.
the logical, normal steps of life. And
right.
then here she was kind of swimming the other way. But it still took her parents sitting her down saying, hey, this is in front
yep.
of you.
Yep. Yep.
So that shows you how hard it is for, imagine a person who doesn't have that support network.
That's most of the people
right,
out
exactly.
there, right? That's most
yeah.
of us going
yeah.
like, we're just figuring this out. How do
and
we make it happen?
It seems too hard or too complicated.
And in reality, it is not.
Right.
I mean, it is not rocket science. None of it.
But it does require work.
Oh,
yes. That's the part that some people opt out.
Yes, that's true. I find that with the most of the maker, well, let me take that back. I find that with the maker community that I interact with, hard work is not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
These are amazingly hardworking people. I mean, just the hours that they put in, 40 hours a week
right.
in a full-time job, and then nights and weekends.
And this on the side, right.
I think that there's a little bit of concern from a lot of people around, what are those next steps? What do I do next?
Right.
How do I grow this? What if? What if it's priced too high? What if it's priced too low? All of these concerns.
So now, for you, in terms of growing this, you're meeting face-to-face with as many as possible
right.
in order to kind of learn more about what their needs are.
Right.
Are there any mentors you have right now that is helping you with this?
So I have been working in a co-working space in Grant Park called Next Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and that's been a really great community for me. My husband is also an entrepreneur, and so we take turns having good days and bad days.
That's the rules of the house.
Right.
We can't have them at the same day.
No, it's a really bad day when we both have bad days. And so that is my current network. And of course, Jen, the founder,
mm-hmm.
she's an ongoing resource.
So now, have you done anything dramatically different than what she was doing?
Yes. I mean, she was doing 4 markets a year, seasonally, like clockwork.
And she was doing them at the same location, or she was traveling around doing them in different places?
Different locations. So one of the things that she did that I've continued to do that is really interesting, I think, is using Root City as a way for real estate activation.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a new development that is looking to bring traffic, then this isn't a way for them to have some foot traffic.
And then you do this for a week or a weekend?
One day. It's on a Saturday. We would be open to doing Sunday, but Saturday is our
day. The main day, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's 6 to 7 hours that we're open, and we just really push that.
And then what do you need from the real estate? Like, are you looking for those opportunities now?
Always.
So you're always looking for those opportunities.
Yep.
And then what's the conversation you have with the real estate person?
Well, a lot of what we want to do is to make sure that it's a good fit.
Right.
And we want to make sure that the real estate people, the organization feels like they're having their needs met as well.
Right.
So that's the first part of the conversation. And then everything else is logistics, making sure the space is big enough, making sure that there are restrooms,
right.
making sure that there's Wi-Fi, electricity, and then filling in the gaps if they're there.
Now, what's the requirement that you need from a location? It has to be indoors or?
Yes, we're always in. Well, 9 times out of 10, mm-hmm. we're indoors.
Uh-huh.
And we're partnering with the Atlanta World Kite Festival mm-hmm. in October. And that will be an outdoor event, but that's the first one.
Right. Because that has different logistic challenges.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. So indoors offers us a large peace of mind. And what else do we need? We like between 5 and 10,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Five is pretty small for us.
Well, the larger, I would imagine, the more makers you can get, right?
Exactly. And then location is a big deal. We like to be inside the perimeter, typically, east of the connector, so east of 7585 right. and north of I-20, mm-hmm. but not quite as far east as Decatur. Parking is the biggest thing
that's
for us.
That's a challenge in that part of town.
Yes. And that's where a lot of our makers are saying, this is where we experience our high sales.
Right.
And a lot of the customers are saying, we want parking. So as business goes, it's a tap dance.
And somebody can get kind of what's it called? Those things that give people rides, business? Shuttle.
Oh, shuttles.
Shuttle bikes.
Oh, yeah. We should. We should do shuttle bikes.
There you go. Solve two problems.
That's right.
And then start another business as a bonus.
There you go.
So now, right now, what do you need more of? How can we help you?
More of getting the word out. So this is perfect. Letting people know that we're here and doing this thing. We need more makers.
How many makers do you think there are in Atlanta?
I have no idea.
Is it 1,000? Yes. 50,000? 100? That it could be?
I don't know. When you say those numbers, I think perhaps.
Right.
I mean, there are so many people. You both could be makers. You could be crafting wooden products on yours.
Wooden products? I don't know. You don't know me very well.
I don't know. You're talking about being in the mountains. Maybe you're out there with the wood.
Yeah.
Maybe you're whittling.
I have two tools at my house. A telephone and a checkbook.
Okay, we have the same tools. Yeah. So I'm not quite sure of the size of the maker community in Atlanta. I know it's big.
And then, but you are building kind of an email list of trying to get a hold of as many as you can, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And then the people that buy the maker stuff, that's a different list, but those are important people.
Yep.
And now these real estate people that are developing spaces in that part of town.
Yep.
So you need all that.
All of it.
Man.
Send them all my way.
That's a long to-do list.
It is. I'm busy.
So now what's the best way for someone to connect with you?
Probably via email.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Shannon. It's Shannon at HelloRootCity.com.
And if you go to HelloRootCity.com, you can see some of what you're doing, the calendar events, things like that.
Exactly.
And then... are you on social media as well, on Facebook? And
Everything is Hello Root City.
Hello Root City. All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.